Regular podcast listeners will know that I wrote two plays during the pandemic, and I am thrilled to report that one of them, an adaptation of Christopher Moore's comic novel Fool, which tells the story of King Lear from the jester's point of view, is going to have its world premiere this May and June of 2025 up in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, which is apparently an actual place, by the company Seven Ages Theatricals. And so I'm here talking with Seven Ages artistic director and director of the production, Tom Berger. And first of all, I just want to say, dude, thanks for doing my play.
Well, somebody had to.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 956, Fool's World Premiere. Happy April Fool's Day! What better time to announce that my adaptation of Christopher Moore's novel Fool will get its world premiere courtesy of Seven Ages Theatricals this May and June in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Tom Berger, the executive artistic director of Seven Ages, which produces, according to its website, cutting-edge, insightful indie theater, is directing Fool, and he spoke to me about how this world premiere production came to be. I felt so much during the pandemic for William Shakespeare, because it's one thing to write a play. It's another thing to just have it sit there in the drawer. Because right. If I wrote a play and nobody performs it, did I really write a play?
Yeah, it's Schrodinger's play. Yeah,
Schrodinger's play. Can you tell me the origin story of, first of all, how you even became aware of it? Because I know Chris and I were I thought, playing it very close to the chest that we were even working on this together. But somehow we let it slip. How did you discover that we were doing this?
So, like all great theatrical endeavors, it started on Twitter. So I've been a Chris Moore super fan for about 20 years. I've read all of his books. I own, I think, all of them and a couple of signed copies. And I just really love his work. And I'm a Shakespeare guy. So when Fool came out, it was very exciting to see one of my favorite authors take on a Shakespeare twist. And so in this day and age, you know, we all have these weird parasocial relationships with people. And I followed Chris on Twitter, and we'd chat once in a while on Twitter. And I forget what it was. This was probably 2019, maybe. And I joked with him saying something about, you know, well, next time we're having coffee and talking about the stage adaptation of Fool. And I had heard about the New Jersey Shakespeare reading back when it happened. And he was like, yeah, we tried a reading of it. Let me tag my friend Austin. And then lo and behold, it was Austin Titchener, who I've been watching and admiring on stage for 25 years. Because I'm a big Reduced Shakespeare Company fan. And then you wrote to me, and you were like, you know, we had the reading, we hit some bumps, we're all just kind of like putting it in a shelf for right now, and nothing really happened with it. And I was like, first of all, you're very kind to even bother telling me this, but that's fine. So time passes, the world had a little bit of a bump in 2020. Yeah. And then flashback to last May. And what was funny, a friend of mine were at like an arts and crafts fair, and we were getting in the car, and I was getting in the car next to a full family sitting in a car, and I opened my phone and I have an email from you saying, "Hey Tom, it's been a while. Are you still interested in working on Fool?" And I just yelled, "Holy shit!" and startled the bejesus out of this very nice family. I was like, "Sorry, good news. Sorry, not here." And then, so, you know, I wrote back that, you know, I had some producery questions of like, where is it? You know, what's your next steps? You know, what are you looking for? And you said, well, how about I just send you the script? So in May, I'm sitting in my backyard typing up 5 pages of notes for an adaptation of one of my favorite books by one of my favorite Shakespeare people. And it was very surreal. And then we just kind of started pinging ideas back and forth and went through a couple of drafts. And we had an informal reading last summer. And then you came and joined us in the bustling metropolis of Sheboygan in December for a much more formal reading. And you and I both got a lot of good feedback from that. We've had a really dedicated group of performers kind of, that's altered slightly. I think we're going to be finalizing casting in the next week or so.
I think the thing that sealed the deal for me was, you know, that those five pages of notes that you mentioned, they came back to me and they were all not only really smart questions about, have you thought of this or this or this, or what's the solution here, blah, blah, blah. They also just, I sensed in you a shared sensibility about not only Shakespeare, but this particular material and comedy in general. And so that was enormously encouraging.
I'm very glad to hear that. Yeah, it was such a weird combo that we found each other because, you know, I'm a Shakespeare guy. Like, I direct theater for a living, and I do a lot of Shakespeare. Not exclusively, but I do a lot of Shakespeare.
Well, and you named your theater company Seven Ages.
Correct. Well, that was kind of a misnomer because originally we were going to be a consultation agency.
Ah.
And we were going to just consult other theater companies on moving on to your next phase, which is why I picked that name. But yeah, the combination of being a Chris Moore super fan and a Shakespeare guy and a reduced Shakespeare guy too, you know, just was a kind of a happy accident. I said to somebody after we like had started really rolling, I was like, you know, I lived in New York City for many years. I was like, if I had stayed in New York, this would have been a really normal thing to happen at this stage of my career. It is bonkers that it's happening in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, which is a lovely city, by the way.
It is a lovely city.
But, you know, I've been here about 10 years. And like, surprisingly hip, too. We have, like, a really good theater scene. We have four major theater companies in town. We have a state-of-the-art modern art museum, which is where we're actually going to be performing Fool. We have art galleries, we have, you know, whenever my New York friends come to visit, they're always like, this is kind of a cool town. I'm like, right.
Not to blow my own horn, because I'm not that agile. But it does seem like a match made in sort of Shakespeare comedy heaven, you know, heaven. That renewed Shakespeare comedy guy would adapt Christopher Moore. And I had some encouraging readings during the pandemic, with a cast that you could only find during the pandemic because nobody was working and they were from all over the world. And then I had another one just like a year ago, January, here in Chicago, in live and in person. Both of those readings were incredibly encouraging. And two of those folks, the reason I reached out to you in April or May of 2024 was because I saw two of the people involved in those readings on my birthday. And they said, hey, what's going on with Fool? That should really happen. That should really happen someplace. And I said, yeah, well, I'm, you know, I got some interest on this guy up in Sheboygan. And, you know, who wants to go up to Sheboygan? And they both went, oh my God, jump on that. And I went, wait, what? And they said, absolutely. If it's terrible, nobody will ever know.
And the
good news is it won't be terrible.
Yeah. No, my initial pitch, I ran a scrappy little indie company in New York too called Redirections Theater Company. And we would occasionally like flirt with doing some bigger titles or some titles with some bigger people. And one of the things I said to you and Chris when we started talking was, here's the thing, like, we're good enough that we're going to give this a really solid attempt, but we're small enough, because we're just a small, scrappy indie theater company, even compared to, like, other regional companies in the area. Like, you know, there's a lot of really great community theater doing, like, musicals and doing, like, educational theater. We do, like, Sam Shepard and stuff. Like, we do scrappy little things. Like, right now, we're doing the Vagina Monologues and the Good Body by Eve Ensler repertory right now. So, you
know,
yeah, we do kind of, like, more off the beaten path stuff. But I said, you know, we're small enough that if we whiz it, it's not going to affect it at all. It's not like a New York Times review is going to kill the piece forever.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, if it goes well, either, you know, we learn, we take that next step towards a published version of the play or a bigger regional production of the play. And you are completely free to bring me or anybody along, and you're completely free to take any good ideas we came up with and steal them shamelessly. And that's fine. And never talk to me again. That's all right. But we're going to get to do Fool, and we're really excited. Like, I mean, the whole community has been kind of buzzing about it for a little while because we have a really hip indie bookstore here called Word Haven, and they already love Christopher Moore stuff. So, it's going to be pretty dope.
This is Christopher Moore, the author of Fool and the Serpent of Venice, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This month and next, we're bringing back our newly updated version of All the Great Books Abridged, performing it in Harrisonburg, Virginia, Louisville, Kentucky, Elyria, Ohio, Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, and Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Check out the touring page at our website, ReduceShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with Tom Berger, the executive artistic director of Seven Ages Theatricals, who's directing my adaptation of Christopher Moore's novel Fool from May 23rd to June 8th, 2025.
You talked about the edgier, fringy sort of small scale things that you did that Seven Ages produces as well, but this feels slightly more epic. Even though I've got it down to eight actors portraying, I don't even know how many characters.
About 25.
25 characters. This feels epic in a way, but it doesn't. Having met now your production team and some of your cast members, it doesn't feel beyond the reach of what you do at all.
No, I mean, so I do, I'm kind of a theater slut. Like, I'll really do anything. Like, I do, for years and years, I really focused mostly on large commercial musicals because I'm a musician and I'm a choreographer as well. So, like, it just showcases what I do well. But the thing is, like, even going back to my days in New York, like, I do, like, 10 or 12 big commercial shows a year to be able to afford to do the two or three scrappy little things I really wanted to do that like feed me as an artist. So and I still do that. I run one of the local high school theater programs, you know, so we do, you know, theater with them. I still gig out occasionally. I also pop around to regional theaters around the country and do a show. But like all of like the stuff I really care about is the stuff that we're doing at Seven Ages. Cause I like, you know, and we've been very, except for we do free Shakespeare in the Park every year. And except for that, which we can't charge admission for, obviously, we've actually recouped our investment on every show since 2022. And we're only about 5 years old. So for a company our size and youth, that's pretty good. But it's probably because we also don't punch above our weight. Like we're really good at producing within our means. Like, you know, we're not trying. So I think the advantage for Fool is that we have kind of like a scrappy show in a box indie theater kind of energy, but also me and most of the people who are working on it, we've also all done large production shows. We've done big musicals. We've done big Shakespeare, you know? So like, we don't, you know, we have a particular set of skills, but you know, is kidnapping people. No, that's not what I'm about. But no, you know, so it's just kind of like a perfect blend of experience that that lends itself weirdly specifically to this piece, you know.
Not only your personal, but the company's Shakespearean expertise. How does Fool veer from or complement the other Shakespeares that you do?
I think, well, it's funny because after Fool, our last show of the season is Macbeth, which will be a little kind of a vacation for me because it's my third and I know it like inside and out. But I think I was talking, so my best friend from New York came in for our December reading, John, who you met. And John and I were talking late into the night when we got home. And we really talked about that, like, the challenge for me as a director and partially for you as a playwright, but it's more of a me problem, especially being in, this is a small community, it's about 50,000, the county's about 150,000. I have to take people who maybe know Lear, but have never read Fool, or people who have read Fool, but don't really do Shakespeare, or people who have no idea about either of these properties. And we have to make sure that this story is, you coined my favorite phrase of clarity begins at home, making sure that this story is accessible to people who like Lear and people who like Fool and people who have never heard of either of these things. Because there will be people in the audience who have literally never heard of King Lear. That's the big onus on me, I feel. Like, I feel like that's my biggest responsibility, in addition to all of the histrionic parts of it, you know? Because it's a complicated piece. We're building a huge three-person puppet, so...
Yes, yeah, and I can't wait to talk about that puppet later when it becomes less of a spoiler.
Yeah.
you called yourself a Shakespeare slut, a term that I recognize and embrace myself. In fact, I just wrote an article for the Folger Shakespeare Library talking about William Shakespeare himself, who does every part, who knows every aspect of putting on a show and has probably performed multiple roles in the putting on of a play. And that's been, I realized myself, we've talked about how each one of us needs to stay in our lane when this happens, when this goes up, because the only thing I'm actually trained to do is be a director.
Yeah.
And what I love about acting in somebody else's production is I just shut up and say my lines and dump them into the furniture. And I realized only just recently that I'm not at all feeling like, oh boy, I better be up in Sheboygan every single day, you know, because I know that it's going to be in solid hands. I can be, quote unquote, just the playwright and let you carry on with the heavy lifting of directing a big multi-actor, multi-cast comedy.
Well, it's easier for me because the difference being that you are an actor and a director and a playwright. I'm primarily just a director. Like, I don't really, I mean, I perform once in a blue moon. I think it's good for us. I think it's healthy to keep in touch with the fact that acting is hard. And I forget that sometimes. And I can write, but I really dislike it. I really don't like to write. I'm a really lazy writer. So for me... And the only addition is I'm doing most of the incidental music for Fool, which is coming along.
Including some funny music that we've created.
Some funny music. I started the workings of a pocket theme the other day.
Oh, can't wait to hear that.
But, like, I'm a hired gun. Like, I compose for money. Like, I wrote a children's musical about 15 years ago about math for a friend of mine. And I really didn't want to do it. And she was like, it's six songs for $2,000. And I was like, okay. And it got really good reviews. It got orchestrated. It went on to do things. If you held a gun to my head, Austin, I could not sing you a single line from this show I wrote. So, you know, I mean, like, all I know is the check cleared. Because I don't really enjoy the process. But I love to direct. Because what I like about directing and what I like about arranging music is I can take your stuff and do really cool things with it. You know, and that's kind of like what I've excelled at in my career. So,
well, and that's the thing too. Chris and I in the years, in the 15, 16, 18 years, we have known each other. We have become pretty good friends and we see each other every time I'm out there in California, in the Bay Area. The burden for me is to not disappoint him.
Yeah.
You know, that's the challenge. And for me, and I don't think we will. I mean, he's been incredibly helpful in the adaptation process. He's even so smart about it is that the last draft he read, he said, you know what? I think I've reached the limit of my usefulness on this because now I can only see what isn't there.
Yeah.
And yet he was one of the ones who said, don't be too beholden to the novel. The entire novel won't fit on stage. And my goal, there are very few plays out there that need to be longer than 2 hours. Certainly none of mine.
Yeah.
So my goal is to create a 2-hour get in, get the laugh, get out adaptation of Christopher Moore's novel, Fool. So pace, 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 yeah. People.
Yeah, and it's also, but it's also balancing to be the being the devil's advocate. Like, it's also balancing making sure that everybody's catching what we're throwing. Because, like, in addition to Lear itself, has a lot of exposition in that those first two acts, and then now we're adding Pocket and Drool's story underneath that. So, like,
and we're adding three witches from Dunsinane.
We have a couple cameos from other Shakespeare plays. Yes. While still keeping the pace up and while still being funny, fast, like slapstick comedy, it's at least is going to have a good time. You know, I mean, that they're going to have fun.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. The Seven Ages Theatricals production of my adaptation of Christopher Moore's novel Fool, directed by my guest Tom Berger, runs from May 23rd to June 8th, 2025, at the Kohler Arts Center in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Go to sevenagestheatricals.squarespace.com for more information. Then send us your puppet characters via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks, as always, to wise fool Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to James Topham. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to novelist Christopher Moore, creator of Pocket of Dog Snugging, the protagonist of his fantastic comic trilogy, Fool, The Serpent of Venice, and Shakespeare for Squirrels. Check out all his books and his upcoming tour dates at chrismoore.com. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 956 2868ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I had one a friend read the script who's also a fan of Chris Moore's stuff, and he said, I gotta say, I approached your adaptation with some trepidation because most adaptations just make me miss the things that I loved about the novel. Right. He said, but your adaptation of Fool made me feel like Chris's story had returned to the place where it naturally belongs on stage. And I was so enormously gratified by that.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.